judgment this should have provided to Ahaz and David's house compares to the provisions we have in Emmanuel. And so I want to ask you tonight, in the time we have remaining, to consider four provisions that we find in the Word of God about Emmanuel. When we think about God with us, this is what we can draw from the reality that God came down and visited us. Number one, I want you to see this. The reality of Emmanuel, God with us, gives us comfort from our fears. Comfort from our fears. Can I ask you, have you ever been afraid? Has there ever been a time in your life that you have been fearful? We can be afraid for many different reasons. There are things that I'll admit to you, I fear. I see fear in my children many times. Especially when I get after them and tell them it's time to come and see Daddy in his room. They even verbalize it. Brooklyn and Evelyn anymore, when they hear me say that, will begin saying, "Daddy, I scared. We understand fear. It's natural to us as mankind. When Isaiah came to Ahaz in Isaiah chapter 7 with this message from the Lord, even though it was a prophecy of something to come centuries down the road yet, this prophecy, this sign from God was a message to Ahaz and to the people of Judah in that day. Do not fear. Don't be afraid. I find it interesting, don't you, that when Gabriel appeared to Joseph, what did he say? Fear not. When he appeared to Mary, what did he say? Fear not. When they appeared to the angels, what did the messenger of the hosts of heaven say? Fear not, don't be afraid. This prophecy, Emmanuel, God with us, the reality that God came down and visited us, should give us an understanding that we do not need to be afraid. It should comfort us from our fears. The Bible declares to us that God has not given us the spirit of fear. We know that. There's much that we could fear, and in our nature, in our humanity, we could very well be afraid. But how can I fear when I think about the truth of Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us? What can stand against me when I have God on my side, when God is for me? Not even my greatest enemy holds any power against him. The truth of Emmanuel, God with us, gives comfort from fears. The Bible declares in Psalm, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in him." Later on, if I remember correctly, here in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah declared, "I will trust the Lord and not be afraid." We do not need to fear when we consider the reality of Emmanuel, God with us. God's message to King Ahaz and Judah was simple. Do not fear. This sign should give you comfort from your fear. Today, too, we can draw comfort from the truth of Emmanuel, God with us, from our fears. Second provision of Emmanuel, God with us, I want you to catch this evening, is this: confidence for our future. Now, this is present in Isaiah chapter 7. What was the fear of Judah? We're going to be destroyed. What was the fear of the house, at least the potential fear of the house of David, outside of losing their own lives? What about God's promise to our father David? What about the promise of the long-awaited Messiah who is to come, who will be of David's house? What is going to happen to all the promises of God that he has given to us? Those fears where were present there in Judah and in the people. And what were those fears related to? The future. What will our future be if the enemies come in and destroy us? What does God have in store for us then? What is going to happen? What was essentially the message that Isaiah was giving for the Lord to King Ahaz and to the people? You don't need to be afraid. You're concerned about what will be. They've tried to come against us and have yet been unsuccessful, but now they're going to put a siege on. They're going to cut off our water supply and our food supply. What's going to happen? What will be in the days and the months and the years ahead for us? There was that concern about their future, that fear. And what was Isaiah's message from the Lord? You don't need to fear. Instead, ultimately, the theme was this: trust God. Put your confidence in Him. You know, God knows what you fear. There's not a fear of your heart and mind that God is unaware of. He knows all of your fears. He knows all of your concerns. He knows what keeps you up at night. He knows what wakes you up at night. He knows the anxieties that you carry with you through the day and throughout this week and the month ahead into 2020 and beyond. God knows all of those things. He knows all about the enemies that are surrounding you. But can I remind you, He has all of those things in order and He's in control. Just trust Him. There's nothing that can stand against you when you're in God's hand. There's nothing that can happen to you that He does not allow bring into your life. Trust Him. I don't know the fears that may attack your heart day by day, but I know that we have a God who is with us and has provided for us so that we need not have any reason for fear if we will just trust in Him. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." When we consider the reality of Emmanuel, God with us, it gives us comfort from our fears. It gives us confidence for the future. And then thirdly, I'd ask you to note this. It gives us courage for our focus. Courage for our focus. What did God want Ahaz, the people of Judah, to do? He wanted them to not be afraid, to trust Him, and go on doing what He expected of them. God was going to take care of their enemies. God was going to see to it that Judah would be protected, that the Syrian army, the Israelite army, the combined force that had them completely outmanned, would not be able to overthrow them. God, as He was comforting their fears and giving them confidence about their future, was instilling in them a courage to do what He wanted them to do. Do you understand that the reality of Emmanuel, God with us, is intended by God to have the same result? Hold your place in Isaiah chapter 7 and look with me at the Gospel of Luke chapter number 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1. A lot happens in Luke chapter 1. The angel Gabriel appears to Zacharias to foretell the coming conception and birth of his son, John the Baptist. The angel Gabriel then appears to Mary 3 months later to give her the announcement of the coming conception and birth of Jesus Christ. Elizabeth then conceives and bears her son with Zacharias, John the Baptist. And in Luke chapter 1, Zacharias, after this all happens, is praising God, and he's also prophesying not only about what his own son would do, but what Mary's son, Jesus, would do. You're in Luke chapter 1. Look with me, beginning in verse number 70. "And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, notice this, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. As Zacharias is giving these words given to him by God, he is proclaiming what Jesus Christ's life would be about, what he would accomplish and what that would produce in those who would follow him. And what was it? Jesus would come to accomplish the salvation, the deliverance of his people from their enemies. What Zacharias understood about that, how he interpreted it, I don't know. But I know what God's meaning was. That Jesus Christ would come and save us, give us salvation from our greatest enemy, sin and death and condemnation. That he would save us so that in delivering us from our enemy, we might live to serve him without fear. Notice how these things come together and grow with each other. Jesus would come, if you will, to give comfort from our fear. Our enemy cannot stand against us, has no power over us through Jesus Christ. Give us confidence for our future. Can I ask you tonight, do you have a confidence about your future knowing Jesus Christ? I don't know what the next minute may hold for me. I don't know what tomorrow may hold for me or next week. But I'll tell you this, I know what eternity holds for me because I'm in his hands. And he's done that to give us courage that we might serve him without fear. The reality of Emmanuel, God come down to be with us, is given to us to comfort us from our fears, to give us confidence about our future, to give us courage for our focus. God doesn't want us to be focused on our fears. He doesn't even want us in that sense to be focused on our future, to be anxious and to be questioning about what the next day and the next week may hold. Through and in Jesus Christ, we have victory over our enemy and enemies. We have confidence about and for our future. And because of these, we can focus on what he wants us to focus on. And that is, what should we do for him? What does my life mean for him now? He's given us courage for our focus. The question, would you courageously endeavor to fulfill the focus given to you because of Jesus? You only have that purpose because he came to be with us. Will you endeavor to courageously fulfill it? And then finally, a fourth provision we have because of Emmanuel, God with us. We have comfort from our fears, confidence for our future, courage for our focus. And then fourthly, I love this, we have a change of the finding. Or a change of the findings. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, that virgin who would conceive and bear Emmanuel, God with us, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If you were to be in a courtroom setting, you'll often hear an exchange like this at the end of a trial as if it's a jury trial, the judge will ask the foreman of the jury, have you reached your verdict? And the foreman will respond, perhaps we have. To which the judge will respond, what is your verdict? And the foreman will then respond, we find the defendant. We often refer to that in the terminology or the language of the finding or the findings. The Bible declares to us that this type of scene has already been played out in the courtroom of heaven for all of humanity. All of humanity was put on trial before God, and every man, woman, and boy and girl was found guilty. Romans 3:19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the courtroom scene in heaven, God has found all humanity guilty of breaking his law. And the sentence is a steep one, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But because of Emmanuel, God with us, Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, the greatest blessing, the greatest provision of Emmanuel, God with us, is this provision. Though I, along with all of humanity, has been found guilty in the courtroom in heaven, Jesus now stands to say, I've paid sin's debt. I've covered the cost. I've satisfied God's wrath. And this one, this child has believed in me and accepted my sacrifice for sin. And because of that, I am no longer condemned. I am justified. The findings have been changed. I, who was once declared guilty, am now declared justified. Yes, sometimes we define that just as if I've never sinned, but friend, it is so much more than that. It's not just that I've never sinned, but now I have debited to my account all of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Why? Because one day, God came down. Only God, come in the flesh, could redeem men and women and boys and girls from their sin. Nothing and no one else ever could. Only Emmanuel, God with us. Have you made Jesus your Savior? And if you have, if you've trusted Jesus Christ for salvation from your sins and the findings against you have been changed, will you wonder and worship Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us? This reality promised in Isaiah 7:14, fulfilled according to the records of the New Testament, provide for us comfort from our fears, a confidence for our future, a courage for our focus, a change in the findings. Would you choose to live in light of these realities, Emmanuel, God with us? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this evening, knowing, looking around? This evening, we're not going to have a traditional come forward invitation. I'd just like to ask you to remain seated with your heads bowed and eyes closed and just reflect for a few moments on the preaching and teaching of God's Word. What does Emmanuel, God with us, mean for me? It provides comfort from fears. Are there fears, anxieties, and worries that are burdening your heart and mind? The reality of God with us provides comfort from those fears. Are you looking to Him, trusting Him, resting in Him? It provides confidence for our future. Not that I know what every moment of this life is going to bring, but because I know Him and am His child, I know what my eternity holds, and I know that everything that comes into my life is ordered by Him to accomplish my good and His glory. And because of that, I don't need to fear. I don't need to be concerned. but I just should trust him and thereby have confidence even for my future. He gives us courage for our focus. He has designed in his plan that we, as his children, now should live a life of service and purpose for him. And I don't need to fear and be disbelieving, but confident and courageous as I fulfill that plan. Certainly, I should praise him and glorify his name because the findings against me have been changed because of what he accomplished for me. As you spend a moment reflecting, maybe the Lord has spoken to you about a particular need in your life, a particular area in your life that you need to turn over to him. Maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight about simply giving him a moment of praise for the reality of Emmanuel with us, God with us, what it means for us. I'm going to pray, lead us in prayer, and if God is working in your heart, prompting you to turn something over to him, to praise him, would you just there in the quietness of your own heart respond to the Lord as I pray this evening? Heavenly Father, thank you so much. About 2,000 years ago, you sent your son as a baby boy, but not just any baby boy. Our Messiah, our Savior, God himself with us. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to lay aside all that is yours to come, take on the infirmity of human flesh to be with us. And I pray tonight that as we have been challenged about and encouraged about the realities of Emmanuel, God with us, you would help us to live in light of these realities, what Emmanuel, God with us, provides for us. We might walk with you in praise for who you are and all that you've done. Lord, help it to affect us as you would have it to. And we'll be sure to praise and thank you for it. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray.